Kind of, Dennis, I'm kind of looking forward to hear what I have to say too. About accountability. Hope you received only a bulletin, but an outline when you came in. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, very welcome to ask brethren to kind of look around. There's, if you need one here, oh my goodness. So please get one. You always enjoy hearing babies cry when we're in an assembly. Because I kind of think about our life together, at least in my application, it's like we're living at the terminal, at the airport terminal. And in that terminal, there's departures and there's arrivals. And in between the rest of us, we're just milling around the terminal waiting for an arrival, or we're experiencing a departure in our life. So if I don't ever get discouraged when I hear babies cry in an assembly. In the lesson, thank you. Well, that's good, because I did leave my water over in the pew. That's okay, you don't have to bring it. You know, we always think, or many of us will think about an accountability situation in our life, because it happens all the time, especially once a year. You know, we just finished April 15th, and there was an accounting that all of us had to give. And then there was that Bureau of Internal Revenue that demands an accounting once a year. And all through our physical realm of life, there's a time for accounting. Husbands have to account to their wives, Rick, for the things they say and do. all of us, there's in our schools, there's an accounting. There's those exams, those tests. There's an accounting on our jobs. There's an accounting in our nation. There's just always in our life. There's a situation or an experience where we have to give an account of ourselves, either what we said or what we do. I remember the story of a police officer. He stops a drunk who's been driving rather, obviously, erratically late in the evening. He pulls him over. The police officer asks the drunk driver, "Where are you going?" The truck driver says, "I'm going to a lecture about alcohol abuse and the effects that it has on the human body." Police officer said, "Really? At 1 o'clock in the morning, who's giving a lecture like that?" "My wife." "When I get home." I have to have an accounting. Same thing in our spiritual life, and that's our lesson this morning. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment." It'll be a day of reckoning. It'll be a day of judgment. It'll be a day of accounting. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." There'll be a day of reckoning, a day of accounting. In Romans 14, verse 12, "Each one shall give account of himself to God," a day of reckoning. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, Solomon said, "Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad." There'll be a day of reckoning, won't there? A day of accounting. So we have the admonition. In Hebrews 10, verse 30, say, "We know him that has said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.' It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." day of reckoning, day of accounting, a judgment day. I just listed a couple things in your notes to consider this morning on what for what we'll have to give an account of. Number one, obviously, because we're talking about the spiritual accounting, we're going to have to give an account of our response to the gospel, to the Bible message. You know, the last words of Jesus, we mentioned this so many times at the close of a lesson, but we always think of the last words of someone as being significant or important. When someone has left us, we say, what was the last thing they said before Jesus ascended to the Father? In Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, he tells his apostles, go into all the world. He said, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So there's an instruction that we are obligated to give, for which we'll have to give an account on how we presented that message to our world. And then once that message has been received, then we need to teach again all of those things that Jesus has commanded us. We'll be accounted, have to take account for that. How did we present the gospel message to our world? Not what our opinion is. We don't present to the world what we like or dislike. We present to the world a salvation message in the words of Jesus. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them by the heavenly authority. Give account for that. It's recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. Paul said, till you are troubled, rest with us, that at the revelation of Jesus Christ with his angels in flaming fire from heaven, he says that they will take vengeance on those that know not God, those that don't have a relationship with God. So to take vengeance on those that know not God and on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the presence of his might, when he shall appear. There'll be a day of reckoning, a day of judgment. It'll be that judgment, that accounting will be, how did we respond to that good news, that salvation message, that gospel message that Jesus said he wants us to present? How did you respond to that message? An accounting. Have I obeyed the gospel message? Have I obeyed that salvation message? Have I been baptized for remission of sins? Have to give account for that. Number two, we'll have to give an account for those things that are entrusted to us. For our possessions. Have to give an account for the ability that God has given, for the talent, for the life that God has given me. I have to give an account in judgment. Brian, how did you live? Did you seize that opportunity? Brian, did you use your talent? Brian, I gave you life. Did you live it for me? I have to give an account of the life that I live, the things that have been entrusted to me. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So when I stand before God in judgment, there'll be that accounting. And he calls my name, Anderson, Brian K., front and center, and here it is. What did you do with the things that I gave to you? How did you respond to the talent that you've been blessed with? As a steward, Brian, did you take care of those things? By definition, a steward is a manager. It's a guardian. It's one who cares, whose care something has been, into his care something's been committed. So I need to take care of that which has been entrusted to me. I need to be faithful in that. By definition, again, dependable. I need to be reliable for what God has given me. Talent, opportunities, blessings. I need to carry out my obligations according to God's will. I have to give account for that. No matter what we have or how hard we've worked to obtain it, it's God that's provided. Did you understand that in the text that was read to us? Just a couple verses. In Deuteronomy 8, Moses gives that warning, that admonition. He tells the congregation of Israel, you're going to be called into account. Moses says, when you've eaten and you're full, you should bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. Beware that you don't forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. Beware. And in verse 17, you're going to say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But you should remember, Moses said, that the Lord thy God, it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. It's God who's given us the talent. It's God who's given us the opportunity. And yes, we've tried, it's our obligation to what the world has offered to us, that we develop those talents. We develop and seize those opportunities. But one day we're going to have to give an account. Paul told Timothy, you brought nothing into the world, and it's certain you'll carry nothing out. So we've been at what we have between birth and death. We have to give an account of how did we use the blessings that God has given us. Day of reckoning, day of accounting, a judgment day. First Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul asks the question, what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you haven't received? We've been given. And we're entrusted with things in our life. We'll have to give an account for that. Number three, the opportunities to help our neighbors. Give an account for that. The Bible admonition is in James 4, verse 7, to him that knows to do good. Boy, I know to do good. And he doesn't do it. To him it is sin. It's like when I would mess up as a child. I'd have to come before Dad. The very first statement that Dad would say to me, Brian, you know better. Problem wasn't knowledge. I just thought it didn't always measure up. But Dad in my day of reckoning with my dad, or that day of accounting, that judgment day, stand before my dad, Brian, you know better. Yeah, I did. Didn't measure up. I had to give out my account to Dad. To him that knows to do good. Yeah, problem's not knowledge. But if we don't do it, to him it's sin. Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, do good to all men. Do good. Do good. The Bible example in Luke 10, verse 27, you know, with those great commandments, the young man comes to Jesus. Jesus, what's the best there is? What's the best I can be? You know, number one, the first and great commandment, Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor. Your neighbor. So yeah, I may be called into account where God says, how did you love me? But how did you love your neighbor? Day of reckoning. There's a story. I've told this story a couple times over the years. This story happened almost 60 years ago. So if you're a lot younger, you won't know this. You probably won't know this story. So I had to summarize it from the newspaper and things. But several decades ago, a lady named Kitty Genovese, she was stabbed to death in a suburb of New York City. The paper said her tragic death continues to be a symbol of public apathy. In the early morning hours of March 13, 1964, she returned home from work. A man attacked her with a knife. She screamed, "Oh my God, he stabbed me. Please help me, please help me." Lights in apartments nearby went on. The killer left momentarily. No one came to her aid. When the lights went out, the killer returned and stabbed her again. And again she screamed for help. Lights came on in apartments. The killer leaves. Lights go out. He returns a last time to inflict the fatal wounds on Miss Genovese as she lay slumped at the door of an apartment where she had crawled for safety. During the 35-minute ordeal, 38 people watched or heard all or part of the attack. No one came to her rescue. Social science launched studies to explain they call it now, it's well known as the Kitty Genovese phenomenon. They attribute it to the feeling of anonymity, anonymous, being out of touch with other people, or a public refusal to take responsibility. Some of the witnesses later said, "We were afraid." Another one said, "I was just tired." Another one, "I don't want to get involved." Richard Viller, professor of Columbia University School of Law, said, "Still, in most cases, doing nothing is not a crime." Wow. Maybe according to the laws of the land. But it's interesting, that story became a symbol in social science books as an example of what can happen with apathy. Don't want to get involved. Want to turn the lights out. And Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 27, love your neighbors yourself. Love. By definition of love, or at least one definition of love, is that which seeks the best in another or for another. We want to look out for one another. We'll be called into account for the way we treated one another in our community. I know there's many we see on the news that have run toward the danger. Yes, but there's been others too that want to back away. They don't want to get involved. Don't want to share. There'll be a day of reckoning. The last one I put in your notes, we'll have to give an account for the opportunities to help brethren, not just neighbors, but the brethren. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, it's a law? It's a heavenly law? To love or treat one another accordingly? Opportunities to help brethren? In verse 10, Galatians chapter 6, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, but the next phrase is, but especially to those of the household of faith, those of us here. In Hebrews 6 and verse 9, Hebrews writer said, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. Oh, we're persuaded of better things. Things that accompany salvation. Oh, I want to say thank you, God, for my salvation. Oh, but there's things that accompany it. There's things that go along with God's grace, God's kindness toward us. I just can't accept God's grace and say thank you and salute and go my merry way. No. No. We're persuaded better things of you, brethren. Things that accompany salvation. He tells us what those are. He says, though we thus speak, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you've shown toward his name. In that, oh, here's the example. How did she show love toward God's name? In that you ministered to the saints, to one another, those around us. And you do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So what you're doing for one another, the Hebrew writer says, keep doing it. And so much the more. You're going to give an account of the way we've treated one another. The way we treat each other, give an account. Not only of our brothers. Jesus told a story in Matthew 25 of people. He said, gives the illustration of the judgment day scene. I was hungry, thirsty, stranger, sick, in prison. Jesus, and they begin to reply back, when did we see you in all these situations, Jesus? And Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 40, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. See, Jesus identifies himself with his people. We say, Lord, I wouldn't, if you were hungry, I'd certainly feed you. Lord, if you were thirsty, I'd feed you. If you were a stranger, I'd take you in. If you were sick, I'd visit. Jesus said, did you do that to one another? Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Jesus identifies himself with his people. We'll have to give an account. A day of reckoning. A day of judgment. So again, Paul said in Romans 14, verse 12, so each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I put at least these four areas. You're going to have to give an account of your response to the gospel. Have you been baptized? You can answer it now, because you'll answer it in judgment. Don't let that go by. Answer it now, so you can answer it favorably in judgment. What's your response to the gospel message? You'll be accountable for that, for the things entrusted to us. Opportunities to help our neighbors. Opportunities to help brethren. I know the list can go on, but we'll think about these things in this lesson. Mentioned always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. It's a song of exhortation, a time to encourage you to do that which you know to be right if you haven't done so already. If you have not been baptized for remission of sins, we extend that invitation this morning. It's an obligation that we have. It's a salvation message. Let's stand at this time and we'll sing the song that Dennis has selected. Dennis, what number is that? Number 912. 912. If you need to respond in a public way.